delightful dulcet tones of another N-Gage game. Yes, the N-Gage is not dead. It's becoming an overall brand. Joining me now to explain a little bit more behind that decision and the pairing up of Ovi as a whole director of technology and strategy from Nokia is Dr. Mark Olilia.
That accent, is that a Finnish accent there?
Well, it's Australian, English. Sometimes I can be American, and when I do speak Finnish, that has some Finnish accent in there as well. So
a well-travelled man. What brought you to Nokia then?
I've been in the gaming industry for a while and so forth.
And where were you previously?
Well, one of the things that I've been involved in is setting up startup companies in all that area. So I was founding chairman of Mekon, physics software company, and co-founder of Telco Games, mobile games distributor and publisher, and sitting on the boards of different companies. And I saw the opportunity with Nokia very much because it satisfies my overall goals in actually large corporation, which can help change the industry, shape an industry fundamentally, and has research efforts, has business efforts, strategy efforts in entertainment, is more than devices. And this is something that I particularly found extremely interesting to go and be involved in. So
when did you come on board to Nokia?
In November 2006.
So let's go back a bit, because I mean Nokia have travelled the rather rocky gaming ground with the original N-Gage branding. Before you came to Nokia, what were your thoughts on the whole N-Gage thing?
I personally saw Nokia's entry into the whole gaming space, mobile gaming space, as something which exciting, and thought, okay, mobile gaming is becoming serious because of the fact that we had the largest mobile phone operator or mobile phone company actually involved with the actual industry of gaming. And so that gave a sort of a serious aspect to it, that this is actually, there is market, there is money to be made and so forth.
So why do you think then that the brand name of N-Gage at that point was almost held up as a ridicule in the sort of traditional gaming press and circuits?
I think one of the things that I'd like to look at is what we actually achieved with N-Gage. Like, we were a company, like a telecom device company, mobile phones and so forth, and we were making a move into sort of games publishing and entertainment. And that is sometimes a very difficult thing to do. And what we actually achieved by actually going out there, building a community like with Arena, like we have 700,000 people actually.
You have to remember that goes ahead of Xbox Live by about 2 or 3 years, doesn't it? The Nokia, the N-Gage Arena.
It was before Xbox Live.
That's the thing, it was 2 or 3 years before.
Exactly, and that's something that we were able to learn from. And like we mentioned in the actual press conference today that Ansi mentioned, like we're looking to achieve about 6 million device sales to actually build an ecosystem of mobile gaming on the dedicated hardware software solution of the original N-Gage. We achieved about 3 million, but through that we learnt quite a lot. And one of the things that maybe your listeners haven't heard before and all that is that when we look at gaming, what we've done in our studies, like we're very much interested in what consumers are doing with mobile, and what we discovered was that okay, gaming is like either maybe the first or second feature that people are actually interested in on a mobile. And so sometimes it's music, sometimes it's video, sometimes it's actually gaming. Gaming was very important across consumers' activities that they wanted to have on their mobile phone. And so we thought, well, okay, if gaming is so important and what we achieved with N-Gage wasn't exactly right, okay, what do we need to do? So through those studies, we discovered, okay, maybe it's about actually an end-to-end solution, which N-Gage is now today, a software solution, end-to-end platform that allows in the discovery, finding games very easily, paying for them easily, but is across multiple devices so the user, the end user, the end consumer, can choose the form factor that best suits them. That was sort of very much an epiphany for us in the sense that, okay, yes, this is what actually is important. Gaming is important to consumers, but also the form factor that they choose is important. And so that's why we've announced basically a whole range of devices today that are actually supporting the N-Gage platform.
I'll just state one more deep historical question and then one reasonably current up to date. Looking back at the original N-Gage games catalogue, which one would you port right now to a new device?
Well, since we're heading up the Nokia Games publishing side, we're looking at various titles that we've had on the original N-Gage and seeing, okay, which ones actually make sense to take over to the new N-Gage. And so things that we're basically looking at and what we have announced and so forth is titles such as like Mile High Pinball, for instance. And so that's one title that we've actually announced as something that we are taking that was on original N-Gage and bringing over to the new platform. But on that, they're not ports alone. They have to satisfy the new features that we're actually bringing into the whole solution, and that's emphasizing the community side of the actual N-Gage platform, the point system that we have in play, and features along those lines.
And it's also worth pointing out that because of the changes in the underlying operating system, you don't have backward compatibility.
Yeah, that's correct. We had, as your listeners would know, that we had the break in Symbian just recently, a year ago and so forth, and so when we're looking at development on the new N-Gage platform, what we've been sending out to our developers as a reference device for them to build on has been the N73, and the N73 is a device that has sold millions, but it's used as our sort of base reference for the development, our developers and publishers for developing on N-Gage.
And I suppose the other question is that, you know, the N-Gage does have a lot of emotional attachment, either good or bad, to the name. What, you know, you've created the new brand in OV, you know, Nokia is a strong brand. Why continue to use the N-Gage brand? Why not say this is something new, fresh, and exciting? Why not give it a new name?
But one of the things is that, like, this is something that we've looked at very carefully, because, like, we're very much looking at what our brands mean on a global sense. But and actually N-Gage was well received as a brand in Asia, in the Asia community very much, and we saw that there was a lot of positive feelings about that N-Gage brand in the Asian community as well. And so when we're looking at how we actually go forward, we think, yeah, N-Gage is what we have used for gaming. It's an evolution that we've been continually doing with gaming. So why eliminate a brand that people associate with gaming that has come from Nokia? And so we've looked at this very much. It's not something that we've just, let's continue on, we don't want to do the effort. It's something that we've looked at, examined, and yes, okay, it makes sense. And with the aspect that we've also done a sort of a facelift of the also brand, the look and feel of it. It's a new logo, new styling, and that's emphasizing our whole new entry into millions of devices across several devices of this whole N-Gage platform.
I suppose it's one of these damned if you, damned if you don't points of view, then, really. It was a very finely balanced decision. Both arguments could have been successful easily.
I think it's the case that when we looked at it, it really emphasized the fact, okay, there is community out there that is very strong to N-Gage and has positive feelings to it. So, yeah, let's build on that.
What's the community reaction been to things like the new logo, the new styling, the more casual way of playing games?
I don't know the reaction to the logo and style and so forth, because that's just very recent that we've come out with that. But, like, the reaction that we've had from people, like, I think that can be really emphasized by the sort of success that we've actually had with publishers, third-party publishers, that are joining this N-Gage platform and developing content for it. So we've got people like Electronic Arts, Glue, iPlay, THQ, Vivendi, all coming in and actually developing content and bringing their brands to this platform. So we've spent a lot of time, again, studying, okay, what's happening in mobile gaming, what's the problems that have occurred in mobile gaming. And it's very, like, there's thousands of games out there, and fundamentally a lot of them are crap. A lot of them are just not, like, great user experiences. They don't have it. And one of the key things that we wanted to do is, okay, how do we improve that? How do we solve that? And that's why we said, okay, an end-to-end solution, easy discovery of content, and you know the content that you find is going to be very good quality, but best of all, you're going to be able to try and buy it. So you can try the content first and then buy it if you actually want it. And maybe you want to buy it completely, or maybe there might be rental scenarios of the content. And the aspect of actually how you pay for it, maybe it's through credit card, maybe it's through operator billing, or actually how you actually get it, maybe it's going to be over the air, maybe it's through wireless LAN hotspots, which you actually have on a lot of our devices, a Wi-Fi connectivity, or it could be through the PC that then you transfer from there to your handset.
So you try and buy, it's very much like the original shareware demos, and Nokia also piloted with the original Pathway to Glory when the first level came out. So is this try and buy going to be the sort of free levels and everything that can be downloaded?
Well, like, that's going to be very much on a...
Title by title.
Yeah, it's a title by title aspect of things, but it's like try and buy the full game, fundamentally. And then when it comes to revenue models and business models, like different titles might actually have episodic content that they actually want to allow to the user.
So €1 per level?
Well, for instance, like depending on what the pricing will be. And we're going out with a very simple sort of pricing mechanism of between 6 to 10 euros is what we expect the titles to be at.
You also briefly mentioned there, and also very briefly in the talk, talked about game rentals. And is that still in piloting, or is that going to be like the full game and you get to play it for 2 weeks for half the price, for example?
It'll be at a lower price, obviously, because it's a rental and so forth. And in determining what that exact amount will be, that's going to be fundamentally up to the publisher or the showroom and so forth about what that particular aspect. But rentals is something that is important to us. And again, it's about giving the consumer this freedom, this fundamental freedom.
Now, the other area of cost is in the development of the titles.
Yes.
And certainly when you look at the development costs of things like the PSP, the PS3, the Wii, the DS, these development costs can be incredibly high. What would you say is the sort of average, if a developer came up, you said, roughly how much will it cost me to develop an N-Gage title for Ovi? What sort of ballpark figure would you give them as a development cost?
Well, again, I think that's something extremely difficult because it's, again, on a title-by-title nature. I think one of the things that I just want to really emphasize is that why we've spent so much effort over the past years developing this whole platform is to alleviate the concerns and pains that developers have.
Do you think it will be an order of magnitude less than developing, for example, the PSP?
Well, I don't know how much it costs to develop for a PSP.
I could call a number out now and try and get you to pin down.
Exactly, but like,
talking hundreds of thousands or millions.
What I can tell you fundamentally is that the titles that we're looking for N-Gage are fundamentally more rich in media experience than you'd find in Java titles, for instance, and so forth. But the thing that we are emphasizing is the fact that you're developing one SKU, and that with that one SKU, it's working across all the N-Gage compatible devices. And that's such a powerful message to the developer. And because our N-Gage platform is C++, that gives the opportunity for video game developers, which are not in mobile, to maybe look at some of the titles that they've created for maybe PC or for console and so forth, to look at, okay, is there an interest for us to actually take that knowledge, those assets, and then bring them to N-Gage as well? And that's the power that we're delivering.
Where does the Java Snap system fit into all of this?
Well, like, Snap is our business offering, fundamentally, where we are actually targeting mass market. So it's basically a community for mass market handsets, for feature phones like Series 40. And so basically that's bringing community elements into Java titles, basically using the Snap infrastructure. And so it's not a consumer brand, which is something that I want to emphasize. N-Gage is a consumer brand. Snap is more a business-to-business offering, and it's targeting mass market handsets.
And the other question is, there's a lot of interaction in this new N-Gage platform between the customer and Nokia directly. What sort of feedback have you had from the networks on this?
As in the operators?
Yes.
Or
yeah, the network operators.
Okay. We've been obviously talking to all the operators out there about our sort of services, and as was indicated in the press conference today, that we're in discussions with them very much about the various activities that we're doing with our devices and also with our services. When it comes to the actual N-Gage offering here, we've been talking to several of them, and they've been quite excited about what actually can be possible with our showroom activity. So, for instance, one of the things that we're able to look at, and again, we're looking at the flexibility of our whole solution, is that we can maybe have a Nokia showroom, or we could have an operator showroom in terms of the games that are available. Obviously, there's also operator billing, and also the fact that we're having data traffic occurring. This is actually something which will help consumers actually understand more about what's possible with these powerful devices in terms of more than just gaming, but other sorts of data services which might be revenue generating for operators as well. So it's been quite positive.
So it's possible then for operators to get a rev share of the platform sales for an end device that, they sell?
I'm not going to go into details about those sorts
of... But it is possible.
Fundamentally, what we're looking at is typical revenue share relationships with publishers in the content that's getting developed. And then on the operator side, like again, it boils down to a case-by-case basis what the situation is.
And now the other thing, and I had this from a couple of the Engage people. They were actually a couple of the Engage people. No, sorry, a couple of the Engage people who have Engages, not the Engage, not the people you keep in the basement that are squirreling away doing these some more levels for Catan. Please, is Catan coming out for this? If I put the mic off, will you tell me? Mic's going off, folks. Still can't tell you, but yeah, that's good news. No, seriously. We had some of the N-Gage fans go, they were really disappointed in the N-Gage store principle because they couldn't collect the boxes anymore. I mean, they took great pleasure in collecting all the boxes, building up a shelf full of all the titles and everything, and it's been taken away from them.
As in actually
an actual physical product,
boxes,
yeah.
If there's a partner that wants to actually do retail boxes and so forth, like that's a flexibility that we can offer. We can do side loading, we can do over the air through the PC, we can do all these sorts of aspects. And again, a case by case, if a retailer says, okay, we want to do this, we'll listen.
And if we move briefly to the hardware, I mean, there's going to be pictures and videos all over the internet. We've already got some good video of the N81, which is, as you say, the spearhead. Nice word there. The only thing is, I mean, was there a decision to consciously not do something that looked like a traditional gaming device, like a DS or the N-Gage QD or anything like that?
I think fundamentally, like when it comes to actual our form factors and so forth, like that's a design decision that's made according to all our various research and segmentations that we do. So when it comes to like consumers that want more video type form factors, that's what we develop. And so fundamentally what we're coming out with, the N81, is something which is very targeted to people that like music, but also people that actually enjoy gaming as well, and with the special gaming keys as well.
Until I actually sit down and do a 3-hour gaming session, right? I'm not going to know, but it's a very small device, but it's still got quite a bit of weight in it. I mean, and you were showing me earlier that it's a steel sliding mechanism that you've used.
It's probably the memory which is adding the weight in there. 8 gigabytes is quite significant.
Final question then. It's going to be the sort of release dates, the time scales. Are we going to see this in time for Christmas?
November 2007.
November 1st, November 30th. I mean, are you just saying November? No, I'm not going to. He's good at this, isn't he? Which territories then? We're looking at November. Is it worldwide launch? Is it European, Eurasia, Europeans, America?
It's a global solution that we have. So fundamentally, November 2007, N-Gage. And I recommend people to go to N-Gage.com if they got N73s and so forth, and basically see when they can get the application down to their phone and start participating.
You won't need new hardware. For example, I've got an N95 here. You can just grab the client and bring it down.
And one of the things I want to emphasize is that this is different to a console launch. People are outside queuing and everything like that. When we go live, we'll have millions of N-Gage compatible devices already on the market.
Don't you think it's a bit sneaky that you spent the last year, you know, seeding 30 million games devices out there and not telling anybody they've got a games device?
Sneaky?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, not at all. Like, that's not one of our core values. It's about connecting people, and we're doing it through play.
Well, there we go. Dr. Marco Loya there, giving us a fundamental view of the new Engage platform. Mark, thanks very much for your time.
It's been a pleasure.
And I'm sure we'll catch up near the launch with another podcast. It's Ewan Spence here, as always, for allaboutsimeon.com. Comments are always welcome back on the website, /media for the actual podcast, or hit it onto the news items, or into the forums, or even allaboutengage.com. You've been listening to the All About Symbian podcast, www.allaboutsymbian.com. Copyright 2007.